All right, good. Hello? Hello? Yeah? You guys hear me? Okay, great. Thank you. Well, you're pretty close, so you would hear me anyway, right? All right. Yeah, obviously, kind of a big Sunday, second to last, but it's Marcia's last time leading worship, and I was just thinking about her leading the people of God from the very beginning of One Light Church since 9 years ago, just the overflow of gratitude that I have in my heart for her. She's actually, well, most of you guys already know, she's a warrior, but, you know, especially in the area of worship leading, it is sometimes a very hard thing, and you're fighting against dark forces. So I just wanted to say thank you, and you're amazing. You're my favorite worship leader. Yeah. Actually, 1A and 1B, okay? We're going to be continuing in the series about the life of Moses, and today's passage is just really a passage around an argument among siblings, Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. And what happens is they're not treating each other the way that they should, and so Dad has to step in and punish two of them. As a dad myself, I know what that's like. My children actually love each other and play well together, but sometimes they don't get along. Sometimes they're very mean to each other as well, and that hurts my heart and actually makes me angrier more than almost anything else, especially when like the older siblings are mean to the younger ones. And so they know what it's like to get in trouble from Dad. They even came up with the song. They used to say, "You got in trouble, you got in trouble." And then I said, "You don't make fun of your sibling when they're getting in trouble." And so they changed it to just quietly say, "Ha ha ha ha, ha 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 ha." And then I would even hear that, "No, no, 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 you don't do that." And then now they do it where I can't see them. They go, because they're all musical, so they're like, mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Just with the hand motion. And they just kind of always do that, like, "Oh, they got in trouble from Dad." Why do we care about kind of siblings and when siblings don't get along? There's an important lesson to be found here, lessons about what it means to be human, lessons about who God is and what he's like. And just think about this. Think about all of the problems that we have out in the world, whether it's the war in Ukraine, whether it's all of the violence in the Middle East, whether it's just political dramas, whether it's just injustice and people hating each other, whether it's even when you look to the past, I mean, horrendous things like the Holocaust during World War II or slavery in the history of the United States. Just some really, really terrible things of people not being able to get along. And think about how that feels for God, who is the father of everybody. We're all, every single human being that's ever been born, that's on this planet currently, we are all made in the image of God. We all come from the same two people, Adam and Eve. We're a part of the same family. We are all God's children. Ephesians 3:4 says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named." So when we think about people that look very different, that come from very different cultures and languages, being terrible to each other, it's almost like in our hearts we've accepted that that's a normal thing. But just think about if those types of things were happening between my siblings, or between my children as siblings, it would really break my heart. So let's go ahead and open up the book of Numbers and see this story of Miriam, Aaron, and Moses, as well as what God does to intervene in this situation. I'm really thankful that we just have the English right now, because it's 15 verses in Numbers 12, but I think since we just have one language, it might be fun to just read the whole narrative. It is a fun story, so it won't be hard to keep your attention. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man, Moses, was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. I trust that Moses isn't the one that wrote this about himself. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tent of meeting. And the three of them came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forward. And he said, hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly and not in riddles. And behold, he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. When the cloud removed from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous like snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, O my Lord, do not punish us because we have done foolishly and have sinned. Let her not be as one dead whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried to the Lord, O God, please heal her, please. But the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut outside the camp 7 days, and after that she may be brought in again. So Miriam was shut outside the camp 7 days, and the people did not set out on the march till Miriam was brought in again. This is the word of the Lord. Uh-oh, Miriam and Aaron got in trouble. But what is happening here? What is happening in this story? And I'll tell you what's happening. It's really simple. Miriam and Aaron are little racists. They're racists. They're picking on Moses, their little brother, for having married a dark-skinned woman. Moses' wife, Zipporah, she was actually a Midianite. She wasn't actually a Cushite, but Cush was in Africa, and the term Cushite was likely used as a derogatory way of calling somebody who was dark skin. Basically, a black person was called a Cushite in those days. And apparently, Zipporah, Moses' wife, had dark skin, and Miriam and Aaron didn't like that. And they didn't like that their little brother had married someone like that. And this is so stupid to judge someone by their skin color and look down on them because of that. But you know, the thing is, it's not just relevant for Moses' time. Even today, thousands of years later, you would hope that human beings might be able to progress. But actually, there's still so much prejudice that's out there based on skin color. Is there not? There certainly are massive problems in the United States, where I'm from, around race. A lot of just hatred and looking down on each other, not being able to get along, not being able to live together. And actually in Thailand as well, there's so much emphasis on skin color. And even to the point, I think, because of the Buddhist religion, that if you're dark skinned somehow, it probably means you weren't a good person in your past life. Things that just don't matter having so much importance. God doesn't like when we judge each other, especially when it comes to meaningless things like skin color. And so what God is doing here is, they're like, oh, Miriam, you don't like Zipporah because she has dark skin? You think you're so much better than her because your skin is lighter than hers? Well, you know what? I'm going to give you exactly what you want. I'm going to make your skin as white as possible. It's going to be white as snow with leprosy. How do you like that? And she was white as snow. John 7:24 says, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. And honestly, it's dangerous to judge anyway. We should avoid doing it if at all possible. Matthew 7:1, judge not that you not be judged. And especially when it comes to judging another Christian, another person who is a servant of God, Romans 4:4, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. And what Miriam and Aaron didn't understand was that God does not accept judgment based on things like appearance. And he certainly didn't want there to be judgment against his chosen servant, Moses. And Miriam had fallen on all of these accounts. Another thing that we see in God's character, though, which I think sometimes we have trouble with accepting, is that he doesn't treat everybody the same. I think there are countries in this world, cultures in this world, where we highly value equality. Everybody has equal worth and everybody should be treated exactly the same. And the reality is, in the Bible, we don't see that. There is justice and fairness in terms of equity. That's important. But God doesn't actually give everybody the same things. He doesn't give everybody the same gifts. Not everybody has the same life. Some people are born into more difficult situations than others. It doesn't mean that he doesn't value them. They're all his children. And if you were to ask me, how many of your kids would you die for? It's very easy. I would happily die for each of them. They're equal. But the reality is, in the ways that God has gifted them and blessed them, and even the role that they have in my family because of birth order, there are just different things that they experience as a result of that. When my kids are at home, Hannah's the boss because she's the oldest. But if I need the trash taken out, it's Isaiah's job because he's the strongest. They're not the same, and I have different expectations on them based on their differences, but they still all have equal value in my heart. But you know, Miriam thought that this wasn't the case about God. And maybe she thought God was unjust, unfair. Why do you play favorites? Why do you like Moses more than us? I mean, we have the same parents. We have the same blood. We also hear from you. We're also leaders. I'm actually the oldest. I should be the boss over Aaron and Moses as well. Why is he the leader? So that's what's in their hearts when they say, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? But, you know, we see some troubling things for us who really insist on equality or feel a sense of jealousy or injustice when we feel like God has favored someone over us. Romans 9:13, this is God saying this. I love Jacob, but Esau I hated. And what shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded say to its molder, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use? And there's so much kind of comparison and jealousy, especially in this age of social media. And we lose a sense of contentment when we kind of feel like, I don't understand why God has blessed those people financially. I'm smart. I work hard. I deserve respect. I don't understand why that person, their job or in their ministry or in their educational life, they're able to exceed my success. God is just not fair. We just have this sense that somehow we are entitled to equal treatment. We don't like the idea that maybe God has made some people sports cars. And he's made other people, I don't know, Hyundais. I'm Korean, so I can make fun of Hyundai. So the thing is, God, who loves everybody the same, he actually doesn't treat everybody the same, and we have to come to terms with that. Because those types of things are what actually fuel our need to kind of compare and want to look down on other people. Say, no, I'm better. You make me feel like I'm less, but I know that I'm better. And it causes us to engage in things like comparison, rejection, and even racism. But the thing is, in understanding that God is not always equal, that God is not always fair, we have to understand that it is not based on the things that the world thinks are important. It's not based on skin color. It's not based on what family you're born into. It's not based on how much money you have or how smart you are or how good at things you are. And even in some ways, age matters to God. But there are other times when God's like, no, the older will serve the younger, as was the case in Moses, Miriam, and Aaron's family. And we read about this in Scripture over and over again in James 2. And if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? I'll just tell you a little bit of an experience of kind of what I experienced as a foreigner coming to Thailand. Sometimes in the beginning, I would go and visit other churches. And the Thai people, just because they're so honoring, They were like, oh, you're a foreigner, welcome. And they would have me, come here. You're important. Why don't you sit here on the front row? I mean, it seems like that kind of a thing is a normal thing and even a nice thing. But what is going on a heart level? And I actually I quickly learned that there sometimes were some ulterior motives. They thought that maybe this guy, this foreigner, has some money that might be able to help my church or my ministry. There are all these different types of ways that we kind of play favorites based on maybe we come from the same background or we're part of the same kind of ethnicity. And God says that if you play favorites like this, the way that the world does, where we play favorites based on these characteristics that don't matter to God, that actually we are being judges with evil thoughts. And it's exactly what was going on in the hearts of Aaron and Miriam. Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and the heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? How much do we kind of look down on people if, you know, they're not as gifted, they're not as talented, they're not as successful, they don't have as much money, whatever it might be, but actually in God's world, in terms of his value system, actually he does not look down on the poor at all. Actually, in his eyes, those are the really rich people who are rich in faith, who are rich in inheritance of the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 1, again, for consider your calling, brothers. Now he's talking to brothers and sisters in the church, Christians. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in this world. Very different the way that God views the world, how he views us, and what matters to him, what is important to him. And this is also why Miriam and Aaron were in trouble. It wasn't just the racism, but they were looking down on Moses because he was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. He's the most humble and meek person, the kind of person that would never fight back and argue with his older siblings. And God didn't like this guy receiving that kind of treatment from them. He also says, not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant? Moses was humble, he was faithful, he was servant-hearted, and he was chosen by God and called to lead even his older siblings. And by opposing Moses, actually what Miriam and Aaron were doing is they were opposing God himself. And he wasn't going to stand for that. And so Miriam gets punished very severely. Leprosy was no joke. I think nowadays with antibiotics, leprosy might not be as terrible as it was back in the day, but it would cause nerve damage. It was extremely painful. In the ancient world, you would get it would lead to death, and there was no medicine for it. There was no way of being cured from it. And even if you didn't die literally, it was a long life of having social death. You might as well be dead when it comes to your relationship. And it didn't matter if it was your family or your friends. You were just sent outside the camp. You were sent outside of the people, and you were completely ostracized. And actually, it was up to you as someone with leprosy to try to avoid people that didn't have leprosy. And what in the ancient days would happen is that if you were walking and somebody who doesn't have leprosy is walking towards you, you need to yell at them and make them aware. And you needed to be the one that crossed the street to go to the other side and say, unclean, unclean. Can you imagine living absolutely alone, cut off from your friends, cut off from your family, and being this dirty and unclean person that actually it was dangerous for you to even be close to people? If you were somebody with leprosy and you weren't careful, that you might get stoned, you might get killed because people were scared of getting leprosy. Miriam was going to have to spend the rest of her life like this. And then what do we see? Aaron's like, oh no, we've done foolishly, Lord. He repents. And actually, Moses does this incredible thing of praying for his sister. It's a little reminder of Jesus. Jesus who encouraged us to actually pray for our enemies, who forgave us while he was hanging there on the cross. Moses cried out to the Lord, oh God, please heal her. Please. And God heals her. But his response is really interesting. He says, but the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut outside the camp 7 days, and after that she may be brought in again. I have a daughter. I can't imagine ever, in the name of discipline or disappointment or even anger, spitting in her face. I can't imagine that. And yet God is equating what he did to Miriam to spitting in her face. These things that I'm talking about, the little evil thoughts that we have in our hearts of judging other people, judging people based on things that are meaningless, like how much money they have, or what skin color they have, or what family they're born from, actually, it deserves death and being completely rejected and ostracized like Miriam, but at the very least, a spit in your face from God, the creator of heaven and earth. How dare we treat his other children like that? That's how seriously God takes it. And in this passage, judging people based on the color of their skin, something that we just cannot do. How do we do it? How do we avoid judging and looking down on other people? And if you've been with me for a while, you know what I'm going to say here. And it's only through the power of the cross and the gospel. You know, I wonder if God, in giving her leprosy, he knew he was going to heal her. He knew that her separation was just for a period of 7 days. And what's so loving, I know we think of God sometimes as this scary, angry God, but he says that it says that the people waited until she was healed, until the 7 days were over, her uncleanness was over, and until she returned back into the camp. There was an opportunity for reconciliation being brought into the family, and the entire people of Israel did not move on to the next destination without her. There's just kindness in that forgiveness, and we realize that really what this was about wasn't about punishing Miriam, but teaching all of them a very important lesson about not judging each other, about not being racist, and also for Moses. I wonder if what God was waiting for was, okay, Moses, who seems like he just accepted what Miriam and Aaron had said to him, is he going to have a change of heart? Is he going to show his true meekness? Is he going to show his true servant-heartedness? Is he going to really show that he is the most faithful in all my house by being willing to forgive his sister? And he does, and he prays for her, and it leads to her healing. It reminds me of Jesus, and actually in Matthew 26:6, he was unfairly judged. People asked, what is your judgment? And they answered, he deserves death. And then they spit in his face and struck him. They spit in Jesus' face. He did not deserve that. But rather than judging us, he forgave us. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you're just like, who is this person who being unfairly judged and even mocked and hung on a cross, how in his heart he could still not judge back, not try to take vengeance, but was willing to forgive his enemies. And I think that Moses got some company. There was one who was meeker. There was one who was more humble, more servant-hearted, and more faithful in all of God's house. Jesus said himself in John 12, if anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. I had to read this over and over again. Right? If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge them. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He had every reason to judge us, and he didn't. He had every reason to look down on us and stay far away from us, but he didn't. How in the world can we feel like we're entitled to judge any other human being on the face of this earth? And I'm going to close with this, just on the topic of leprosy And we see this beautiful picture of how Jesus dealt with lepers. In Matthew 8, when he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him. This is a radical thing that this leper did. The leper had to be outside the camp. The leper could not be hanging out with big crowds and getting everybody else sick. He actually certainly should not have approached this leader, this prophet, this teacher, and kneel before him. Think about how desperate this man must have been. Think about how painful it was, both physically and emotionally, relationally, that he would risk his life to come and try to receive healing from Jesus. It's his last-ditch attempt. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hands and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And this is the thing that's amazing about Jesus. There are other times where he just speaks healing into existence. He says, you're healed. And yet with the leper, knowing that this person had leprosy and probably hadn't received human touch in such a long time, he didn't just heal him. He went and gave him the thing that he needed and explained with his actions just who he is. There is literally no one in the world too lowly. There's literally no one in this world who is too dirty and unclean or too sick, too sinful for our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not just that he doesn't run from them. He runs to them and gives himself for them and says, I don't mind your uncleanness. I don't mind your sickness. I don't mind your shame, guilt, and condemnation. I will happily take that all on so that I can make you clean. My friends, this is the kind of heart that he wants us to have for every single other person on this earth. Mitch mentioned Jesus said, love one another. It's to this extent, the way that Christ loved us. I'll go ahead and invite the band to come up. Now, for some of you guys, as I was preaching this, maybe inside there was a little bit of the I have had evil thoughts. I have had dirty, disgusting, evil, racist thoughts. My mouth has uttered words that I wish I could take back. Actually, I've loved maybe the seat of honor, the special place. Maybe we're living here in Thailand. And it's very easy to kind of compare, say, who's more valuable? Who's more worthy? Who's more important? Look, there is not one person in here that hasn't struggled with these types of evil thoughts. Actually, I take that back. I feel like Renee probably has never. She's holier than most. But for you guys who wish you could take back your thoughts or your words, I mean, let's look at the Miriam story and the kindness and the forgiveness. There was a warning, but then there was a healing. And there was a restoration back into fellowship and communion. There was a reconciliation between Miriam and Moses as well, and a reconciliation between Miriam, after wiping the spit off of her face, back with her father. And I also feel like there may be people in here who you're more like the leper. Whatever has occurred in your life has made it so that you feel like you're on the outside. You feel like people reject you, people avoid you, people look down on you, people don't value you. And I just want to encourage you that you must not take on board the way that the world views you and the world treats you. Think about the way that God feels about you. What's important to Him? There's no amount of sin, there's no amount of uncleanness that would make it so that God would want to be far off from you. Actually, He would want to come and touch you exactly where you are and bring healing and restoration for you. I just want to open up an opportunity that if you've been mistreated and maybe you've been the victim of racism, maybe you've been the victim of being looked down on for some other reason, I would just want to invite you to come forward and receive prayer as we respond. And for all of us who are a little racist at heart, let's just lift up our praises to God and thank Him for His forgiveness. Thank Him for His acceptance. Thank Him for redemption and restoration.